Hi, and welcome to another episode of Rike's Expat Podcast. This is podcast number 005, and today we're going to talk about expats and meeting other expats when you're living abroad. Last week, a viewer on my YouTube channel by the name of Craig Jordan had asked me about what were my observations in regards to, as an expat, meeting other expats. And he had noted that in Western culture, we tend to be pretty aloof and distant from each other, say, for instance, in the United States, and we build friendships slowly, and, you know, it's usually quite a while before you even have your neighbors over to your house, unless you knew them previously. So he was wondering whether or not that translated over to the whole expat experience. When you're dealing with human beings, there's just so many factors involved. There's no one statement that applies to all expats or the experience you're going to have with them. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to share with you some of the things I've observed, some of the things I've experienced, and just some of the, I guess, trends that I've just sort of noticed. Back before I actually made my trip to the Philippines, I had the good fortune that a former coworker that I had known, just kind of like as an acquaintance at the time, he had already moved to the Philippines and had been living out in, I believe, Mindanao for about 6 or 7 years, and was already married, and he made regular trips back to California. And since we were both from the same town, we ended up talking on Facebook, and I forget exactly how it just came up, but next thing I knew, you know, he'd come to visit and was sharing with me. Of course, I was full of questions, and so I was just picking his brain about all the different things about the Philippines that I could. And at some point, I asked him, well, how is it when you're in another country and you're the minority and everyone else is Filipino? How difficult is it going to be to relate and interact with local Filipinos? And what he told me ended up being very true. He said, if you have any serious issues, any big quarrels or problems, there's a good chance it's going to be an expat, another expat, and not a Filipino. He said, I know you, I know how you are, you're not a confrontational, in-your-face kind of guy, you just kind of go with the flow and you're pretty easygoing. He said, you'll have a pretty easy time in the Philippines. Because in the Philippines, with the locals, if you're that way, if you're just kind of easygoing and, you know, you don't make a big deal out of everything, even if maybe somebody, you know, kind of slights you in the wrong way. He goes, if you can just maintain your temper and watch your words, then for the most part, you're going to get along with pretty much all the Filipinos. But he said it's a whole different issue with expats. Now, even though I had no experience living abroad, I didn't believe him. I just didn't believe him. I found it hard to believe that my issues would come with other expats. Now that I've been here for 4 years, I see what he means. You have to keep in mind that it's a certain kind of person that has it in their psyche to leave their comfort zone and go to the other side of the planet and start a whole new life there with no network, no support system, all the friends and family you've known your whole life. You're leaving behind, and you're basically, when you're an expat, for the most part, there's different types of expats, but for the most part, and I'm talking about like 90% of the guys who just get on a plane and relocate, you're pretty much like Magellan. You're just heading out there into what to you is the great unknown. And only certain types of men do that. A lot of men think about, oh, it would be great to just chuck it all and just go live on a tropical island and live the simple life and fish and grow a garden and just live by the beach. Oh, you know, it's kind of like the ultimate sort of like fantasy, well, that a lot of people have, is just retire and have your own island. You know, I think Marlon Brando did that. But just the whole tropical life, it's this ideal. It's what we think of when we think of you finally got it made. So, in fact, I'm thinking of Carlito's Way, for some reason, with Al Pacino. Great movie. I won't spoil the end for you. But anyways, so certain types of men, now you have to be somewhat self-reliant. You have to be a bit determined. You have to just be a certain kind of person to be willing to jump on a plane and relocate to a land where you just don't know anybody. And you're just going to start on your own. You're going to be resourceful. You're going to figure out your banking, and you're going to figure out this. You're going to figure out that. And yeah, you can look up a lot of stuff on YouTube or web, you know, podcasts and whatever. But for the most part, when you get there, 9 times out of 10, you don't know a soul there. And you're just going to have to really make it happen. Not everybody has that personality. So when you're looking at expats, for instance, in my experience, I won't count the online expats because I kind of covered that in an article I just wrote here a while back at lifebeyondthesea.com about just online expats who can be just vicious in their mentality. But I'm not going to really focus on that today because the online keyboard warriors, I guess you call them, they're just sort of in a whole little box by themselves. What we're going to focus on here is expats you actually meet in person when you get here, when you're living abroad, other expats. I'll give you an example of my first sort of negative interaction that I had with an expat. And it wasn't anything major, but it was kind of a shock to me. I had just moved to Bisak out in Mactan, just off the coast of Cebu, and I'd only been living there maybe not even in my first 6 or 7 weeks. And I was pretty excited and, you know, kind of like a squirrel just running everywhere and looking at everything and just, you know, absorbing it all in. And I went to the Grand Mall there in Bisak, and I had noticed for a couple of days there that there was this American guy, kind of, you know, big build, you know, kind of a tough-looking guy. And he was sitting on the steps of the mall. Every time I'd gone to the mall, I'd seen him like 3-4 times there. And I'd kind of nodded at him. You know, it's kind of a thing you do when you're an expat. When you're surrounded by Filipinos and then you're going down the street or whatever and you're going to cross paths with another expat, you know, you give him sort of that Pez nod, you know, just kind of like, hey, you know, it's like, hey, I recognize you're an expat. You made it here, kind of a thing. And they usually nod back. So I had nodded at this guy like 3 days in a row, and really didn't get much of a response. So that 3rd or 4th time that I went to the mall and I saw him sitting there, this time I thought, well, I'm just going to go over and introduce myself. So I went over there and sat down on the steps next to him, and I was like, hey, you know, Enrique, I'm from California. Where are you from? And he just kind of slowly looked at me. He's like, why do you want to know? I was like, oh, just curious. You know, I just moved here to the Philippines and, you know, just kind of meeting new people. I noticed you're an expat. And he was like, yeah. And then he just kind of looked off in the distance. He just was not up to having any conversation. So that whole incident lasted maybe 45 uncomfortable seconds. And then I said something like, well, I got to go do some shopping, you know, see you around. And off I went. And I never did have another conversation with this guy. I did see him around, but I never saw him talking to other expats. I never bothered again to get to know him. And eventually I left Mactan and I never saw the guy again. But it struck me kind of strange because I was there to absorb the Filipino experience, but if I ran across an expat, then I wanted to kind of touch bases with them and find out, and I still do, I wanted to find out, well, what's your story? Why? What brought you here? You know, well, besides a plane. I mean, you know, what were your motives? Why are you here? Now, at that same mall, I later, a few months later, met this other expat, and it was a totally different experience. With this guy, I stopped and I said, "Hey, you know, how you doing? Where are you from?" And right away, you know, we just kind of hit it off and we began talking. I think we ended up, like, the first time we met, we talked for like an hour. And then we met up again a couple more times after that and just sat down, had lunch and some good conversation. And this guy was just a gold mine of information. He had already been to like 80-some countries, and he had spent like 6 months with a woman in China and then another 6 months out in Japan. And he'd been all over Southeast Asia. He'd been pretty much everywhere. I mean, he'd been to Russia. He'd been to just everywhere you could think of, Latin countries, European countries, Asian countries. And so he had this whole interesting story, and it was great to hear from him. Now, he was already almost in his, well, pretty much his late 70s. And he still had no intention of settling down. He said, well, he'll settle down when he just can't get around and travel. And then about a month later, he ended up going to Singapore with the girlfriend that he had, and then told me that once he got to Singapore, he was sending her back to the Philippines, and he was going to continue on. I believe he went to Cambodia, I think. So looking back on it, in what's coming up on now 4 years here in the Philippines, if I was to make a general graph of my experiences, I would have to say that 90% of the interactions I've had with other expats has been very positive. Very positive. There's something of a... I'll start by saying that C.S. Lewis wrote a book called The Four Loves. If you ever get a chance to read it, or you're ever looking for a good book, check out The Four Loves by C.S. Lewis. And I really love his writing. I've read just about everything he's written. And in The Four Loves, I won't give you the whole outline of the book, but when he talks about friendships, he analyzes why people become friends. And one of the key factors in this is commonality. And he talks about how you become friends with people largely because you have something in common. And he brings up how two women who are both pregnant could bump into each other in the supermarket and instantly become friends. They could even become lifelong friends. He talks about how single people tend to be friends with single people and spend the majority of their free time with other single people. Couples tend to hang out with other couples. Couples with kids tend to hang out with other couples that have kids. And if, say, for instance, you've got two couples that hang out a lot, and then one of the couples breaks up, well, now the guy is single. And so he's going to go back to finding more in common with his friends who are single, because they're going to do stuff together. Their conversations are centered around experiences that are higher on their priority list. So the idea now, as a single guy, the idea of sitting around with a couple thinking about, well, you know, when are we going to have kids? You know, when are we going to get married? This and that is no longer on the top of his priority list. Now he wants to hang out with his single buddies and, like, hey, you know, where can we go? Do you want to go clubbing? Do you want to stay out late at night? Do you want to go get a pizza? Do you want to, you know, it's like the single life. And so commonality is a big driving factor, a first factor in friendships. Now, the secondary driving factor is personality. You could have something in common with somebody and become friends with them just on based on that. However, it helps to make the friendship really cement in if your personalities mesh well together. And they don't have to be the same. In fact, if you're a very confrontational person, chances are you're not really going to mesh well with another confrontational person. You're probably going to argue with that person a lot. But if your personalities match, if you're both easygoing, or if you don't need to argue about every little thing about what somebody says, well, then chances are you're going to get along with a lot more people than somebody who has very kind of low tolerance and low temper. So commonality and personality are two of the biggest driving factors in friendships. So getting back to expats, what expats have in common is, you know, just by virtue of the fact that they're here in the Philippines, living here, even visiting here, the one thing you do automatically share in common is that you both had the guts to leave your comfort zone and go into a foreign land and kind of strike out a new chapter in your life on your own. So right away, you're kind of like, when you meet another expat, you get that benefit of the doubt that, hey, you have that same courage I had to muster up to get myself on a plane and come out here where I don't know anybody. And it doesn't even matter that they're from the UK and you're from the US. It's not that refined. It's just the fact that you both left your home country to come here. Now, it can get deeper than that. For instance, I'm really good friends with this really good buddy of mine, Mike. He happens to live in San Diego, which is only like an hour away from where I spent a lot of time and lived, right there in Riverside County. And I used to hang out at a lot of the same places out there at Balboa Park and Mission Bay and Belmont Park and all that. So we have a lot in common. I mean, just a lot in common, not just geography, but just our thinking and sense of humor and all that and our outlook on life. So all these things we have in common, and getting back to the 90%, 90% of the expats that I've run into, I have something in common with them. Even if they're married and I'm not, we're both expats. We're both out here. We have all of the things which to us as expats are strange or different from what we're used to back in our home country, stuff like the traffic and just all the different things that are different to us, we have in common. Chances are neither of us ever tried balut. Chances are, neither of us is too crazy about dried fish. Chances are we both miss having a really good burger or a really good pizza. You know, there's a lot of things that base of commonality that you automatically have with most expats. Now, before I get into the other percentages, which are not so pleasant, I will say this. I've had the good fortune, because of the video channel, I've had the good fortune to literally meet hundreds of expats. I mean, through the channel, that have actually seen the videos and stopped me on the street and said, hey, I've seen your videos, and we talk, and then we meet up for lunch or whatever. Or they plan out their vacation, they come out to where I'm living at the time, and we get together. Now, aside from that, I've bumped into a lot of expats who never saw my channel, didn't know me from anybody else, but we just bumped into each other, and again, you know, it's like, hey, you're not Filipino, well, neither am I, and then we talk and just get to know these people. Perfect example is Orville Henry over there that runs and owns the True Love Cafe right there in Dumaguete. I met him because another expat said, hey, you got to try the food. It's fantastic. It's great. It's Jamaican. And I was like, okay, I got to try this food out. So I went down there, and then he and I just hit it off, and we've been good friends ever since, you know, like the last 2 years, 2.5 years. And so I've met a lot of people that had nothing to do with the video channel. And it's been overwhelmingly positive. It's been great. And they're different kinds of friendships. There are some expats I know. For instance, there's a group of guys, small group of guys. There's Tyrone and Charlie and, well, Moose doesn't say a whole lot, but, just this small group of guys that every so often I'll bump into them either, out at the beach or I'll bump into them. In fact, they were in a video of mine at the beach. We got together for a brownout day and, you know, kind of like the Three Black Musketeers thing. If you've watched the videos, you'll know what I'm talking about. Anyways, and we'll get together at the boardwalk when I see them there. And it's, they're a certain type of friendship where we talk about certain things, other things we never talk about. Like, for instance, with them, we don't really talk about extended deep science or theology or politics. We're just kind of like happy to be together. We're just happy to talk and enjoy the day and kind of remind each other about the positive things we enjoy about the Philippines. You know, it's great to just kind of hang out and just be buddies and just talk. I mean, we can blow 2-3 hours just hanging out at the boardwalk. You know, just talking away. And then there's other guys I know who, when we get together, we talk about, I kind of don't want to label this in a way that sounds snobbish, but kind of like more intellectual realms of discussion, where we'll talk about philosophy to life after death to just everything under the sun and analyze it along the way. And we'll challenge each other's opinions and we'll just kind of like try to make sense out of the world. And then I've got other buddies of mine that when we get together, basically we just goof off. You know, we're just like, you know, a couple of high school kids. We just get together and, you know, it's not like we're out getting drunk or anything, although we may have a couple beers. But, you know, it's just a joyful time to just kind of get together with certain guys and we laugh and we joke and, you know, we might bounce around town and end up doing some karaoke. Like I got this buddy of mine, Brian, out from the East Coast. He comes out here every so often and you know, and we'll get together and same thing with my other buddy, you know, Mike in San Diego. We get together and we have a blast. We have a great time. And then I've got, you know, kind of like another group of friends who I can just really talk to about personal issues, you know, just stuff I'm thinking about and things I'm, you know, just kind of, sometimes you just need a guy to like bounce stuff off of and just go, man, you know, this is what I'm thinking and I'm a little stressed about this and I'm kind of glad about that and, you know, and they're just kind of good sounding boards. So what I'm trying to say here is that your experience with other expats, It's going to be varied, but overall, expect it to pretty much be positive. Like I said, like 90% of the expats I meet, it's a great experience. You know, again, we have a lot in common. You know, we may not see each other every day or even every week, but when we bump into each other in town, we have to resist the fact that we're just going to sit down and talk for 2-3 hours, you know, because, you know, there's so much to catch up on. And it's a really positive thing. Again, Bud Brown's another cool guy that I love bumping into, and there's other guys that in fact I just spent today with a buddy of mine, Vern, out in Cibolon, and we got to talk, and I think we spent about 3 hours just hanging out and talking about everything under the sun. And there's just so many guys that like I said, it's great to have this huge realm of friends, you know, that you develop with other expats. Now, on the negative side, in person, I won't say that it's been so much negative. I would say it's been mostly negative online. And I think because those kind of malcontents are far braver online than they are in person. At least that's been my experience. I don't get in person the kind of vitriol and anger and hatred that I see online. I just don't. The 10% that I would say is a not so positive experience are guys that, number one, I don't have a whole lot in common with, even on a general level, because I'll give you kind of a, well, I guess one good example is, I'll be just bouncing around like on, you know, Bohol or Mactan or wherever, and I come across an expat and we get to talking and whatever, and next thing I know, it's like they're married, and they got a girlfriend, and then they got a mistress, and then they spend half their week drunk, and it's like, I just don't have anything in common with that kind of guy. And so, even though we're both expats, that's not enough. In fact, the lifestyle he has, there's nothing about it I can learn from, really. There's nothing about it I can share in experience. We just don't have the same lifestyle. And so there's nothing much to talk about. I'm talking about guys that I just, again, I hate to use the word moral, but, you know, it's like I don't want to spend my time trying to be single and married at the same time. It's just something I don't want to do. Either be married or be single, but don't be both. That's just kind of one of my core beliefs. So, you know, you'll run into guys who drink a lot, and unless you're an alcoholic, unless you like to drink too, then you'll have that in common and you'll probably become good drinking buddies. But me, I mean, I drink like, I'm not against drinking. I drink about 6 to 8 beers a year. I don't mind drinking, and when I'm single, every once in a while, I'll get a little hammered and have a good time. But, you know, we're talking about once in a blue moon. Again, I have about 6 beers a year, so I don't really, you know, find much, you know, to really, much reason to hang out with some of the guys I meet that are, you know, just drinking every day. And gotta have that drink, and gotta drink for 2-3 hours every single day. They're not bad guys. In fact, some of them are really cool, and they're fun to hang around with for a while, but I'm just not a drinker. So I'm not a poker player. So I'm not gonna spend part of my week playing poker. I suck at it, and it doesn't even bring me any enjoyment, so I don't spend my time playing poker. I've been invited to one or two poker games, and I never go because it's just not my thing. It's just not my thing. And then you run into maybe 1% of guys who are just, they're here, I'll try to put this kindly, but they're here in the Philippines because they don't function well in Western society. And they can kind of just be left alone and do their own thing in a foreign country. They're the kind of guys who are usually loners, guys who, again, I'm not trying to be mean, but there's no other way to say it. They're just sort of stunted in their maturity level. And at some point in their life, they went through a trauma, and they never quite recovered from it. And it's usually something to do with a relationship. And they just can't, they're the kind of guy that will make the same mistake over and over and over again with different women. He doesn't learn. And so he's in a continual, like under this dark cloud. And I've met guys like this, and I've sat down with them, and I thought, well, okay, I'll offer my input. I'll give him some advice. But he didn't want input. He didn't want advice. What he wanted was to sit down and commiserate and reaffirm how rotten life is because of these women that he keeps choosing to engage himself with. Women that he allows to take advantage of him. That he's constantly throwing money at them, large sums of money at these women, and then they're wondering why they're not loved in return. And they just don't have the maturity to analyze it, make a solution, and get things back on track. They just can't do that. And so it's hard to hang out with a guy like that and relate to him when he's in a continual repetitive cycle that is self-destructive. You know, because of course, you know, the first thing you want to do if you care about the guy is help him out. But if he just won't listen, if he just won't change his ways, if his only focus is, oh my God, it happened again, I picked another girl and I gave her all this money and she didn't love me. Well, you can only tell a guy so many times what to do and what to change, and if he won't do it, you just kind of walk away and go, you know, I can't be a psychologist for this guy. I got too many other things to do. So, I would say that in real life, the not-so-positive, I won't even call them negative, the not-so-positive 10% experiences you'll have with expats are guys who they just need more help than probably you can give them. Again, it could be anything from a psychological issue, it could be PTSD, it could be anything. Who knows what it is? I mean, there's a lot of broken men who just, again, they don't function well in Western society, so they come here and there's enough things to distract themselves with, but they don't ever really socialize. They don't really ever become part of an expat community in any real sense. They don't really build a circle of friends. So I would say that's about what I've experienced the last 4 years. Is overwhelmingly 90% of the time, it's a very positive experience. 10% of the time, you run into guys who are just really too tightly wound or not wound up well enough. Again, you run into other guys who, they're the opposite. They're so high strung, and so pent up, full of anger, and it's like the ultimate guy with the chip on his shoulder. You know, anything you tell him, you know, like, man, we got great weather today, he'll come up with something negative to say about it. These grumpy old men that I call them, I just don't have time for these guys who are just negative on everything. And they're not negative for a reason, like any good reason. They're just negative because that's how they handle life. They don't want to be disappointed, so they knock down everything. Anything that looks hopeful or joyful or happy, they crush it and knock it down so that they won't be disappointed. But the end result is they're just negative and unhappy and grumpy and grouchy their whole life. Well, I got better ways of coping with life than being negative all the time. So I don't have anything in common with these guys that I would hang out with them. They can be who they want to be on their own time, but I got to go and I got to get other things done. That's pretty much how I handle it. The people that I find, and again, 90% of them, it's very easy. The people I find who are generally positive, easygoing, living under the radar, just happy, they're either happily married, happily dating, happily in a relationship, whatever. They're just happy with their life. These are the people that I generally run into, and they're happy to get out of whatever situation they were in their home country, whether it was the rat race or their old job or their ex-wife or whatever. And they're just happy to be in a tropical climate and have some different kind of food and swim in an ocean that's actually warm. And these are the kind of people that I just run into all the time. So overall, I'd have to say it's been a really pretty much a positive experience in person as an expat meeting other expats. So I hope you find that encouraging. And as far as the malcontents, when you identify them, just be nice, smile, and nod as you're walking away, and just stay away from them. All right, so I'll see you guys next week, and hope you had a good time, and leave comments there at the bottom of the page if you feel like it. All right, see you then later. Bye-bye.